So I think I want to go back to the issue of garbled messages from environmental groups, because you may have heard me in that film say that we weren't taking on nuclear power, right? We were just about stopping a uranium mill, which is a ridiculous idea. But that's what I was allowed to say. And I was handed that line by my boss, and eventually that was one of the reasons why I had to quit that job, because I didn't want to be gagged on nuclear power. And for me, it's been about trying to connect the dots from start to finish, all the way through. What are the connections between nuclear power and uranium mining, the disposal of waste, how we're handling fracking, our demands for energy, how we're not conserving, over-consuming. To me, all of these things are deeply intertwined, and we have to really kind of get on that and figure it out. And I would have to agree with you. I don't think environmental groups have gotten that quite right yet, and there's a long ways to go. As environmentalists, we're all really narrowly focused on our singular issues, right? We don't have that many opportunities to connect with each other. So it's just interesting that you brought that up. The other thing I want to mention is in Colorado, the produced water that comes out of the gas wells, you can irrigate with that. And so often that's what's happening. You're not allowed to irrigate food crops, but you are allowed to irrigate hay fields and alfalfa, which is livestock feed. And when I first learned about this, I was just horrified. I was like, oh my God. But it turns out that it's really rather commonplace and happening all the time. If you're not off the supermarket beef yet, you really should be, because we're not treating those cows right in Colorado. But Cecilia, you're a farmer, and Manna, you're working also on sustainable agriculture issues. It's been my observation that the conflicts between agriculture and extractive industry are really increasing. For decades, they seem to coexist fairly well. And farmers and ranchers, you know, were kind of happy to be in the side business of leasing their mineral rights. But now we're at a point where there's so much pressure going on that that old relationship seems to be breaking down. And I guess I'm wondering if you have thoughts, what you're seeing here. This is New York State is a great place to get apples. But there's obviously a really vibrant local farming scene happening here. And so I'd love to ask what you guys see as the particular impacts that are happening now to agriculture.
Well, as it pertains to fracking, I think fracking is in conflict with farming and agriculture and growing sustainable products that you want to feed your kids, because the impact of potential damage to water is huge, and you need a lot of water for agriculture. And I visited Pennsylvania to visit some of the fracking areas, and one of the things that was clearly obvious to me is that when you fracked your land, you stopped farming your land. There was a compressor station that used to be a farm stand that I saw, and there were fields, and they still had, and I took a picture of it, they still had the old farm stand in front of this fracking compressor station. It was really bizarre, and you still had the writing on the wall of, you know, how much the peas were, and clearly the landowner made a choice. I'm not, nor would I want him to be farming the land right in the shadow of the compressor station. And you could see things coming off of the compressor station that were obviously, something was coming off. There were vents, and you could see the air, you could see heat. I'm like, okay, what's coming off of that vent, and where's it going? And I'm looking at all these questions. So there was also a 1,000-cow dairy herd right next to an active fracking well. To me, I'd be concerned about, from that perspective, and they were, about the impact that process could have on their well water. So there's clearly concerns, and I think a lot, and there have been studies, when fracking takes place in a state, the number of dairy cows number of farms in production goes down. The farmers are leasing or selling, or they're leasing the land and they're stopping farming and they're making money and they're going to Florida. They're leaving and, you know, we'll see what happens to the farmland. But we lose production in farming. Those are things that were obvious to me when I went to Pennsylvania. And I think that the farmers that are hanging on and wanted to see fracking occur in New York State were looking for that windfall to take them out of farming. And that's not there anymore. But if you look at when you produce food for consumption for people, the economic engine, you know, starts ticking up a bit. If you grow carrots instead of hay, and if you grow food for people, it's much more valuable and there's more economy to be had off of that land. And I think we should look at sustainable agriculture as one of those economic drivers. And the Ag and Markets Commissioner has said so, because we don't allow fracking in the southern tier. He said at a hearing, let's look at agriculture as the economic driver. And I think that's something we can all get behind. We all need to eat. We all want to support local, less carbon intrusive, you know, agricultural development. Let's support that. And I think that's something that everyone can get behind. But I'm not so sure the landowners, you know, want to hear that right now. They're very disappointed in the lack of their ability to make this windfall off the land. So there's, you know, it was very similar to what was portrayed in the movie, that, you know, we're pitted against each other.